all election, all the time. And why should we be different? But with the PIA twist. And thanks for joining us here on Prospering in America on the Voice of Reason, WHLD News Talk 1270. I'm Alex Blair, and my co-host Tom Hopkins joins me. How you doing, Tom?
Always great, Alex. Just doing great.
And I know you got out to vote.
Yes, I certainly got out to vote. Now, did it count? Who knows? But yes, I got out to vote.
Now, you voted in Florida, which, of course, has a great and noble history of being able to, well, screw up voting.
Well, now you knew I was going to have to bring something up like that, didn't you?
Right? Absolutely. Well, you're from Florida. You have to.
Back to the Future in Florida, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In way down south on the southern tip of Florida, there's a congressional seat that's got some problems. It was a snafu, all right? Well, you know, on the ballot, you got your governor's race. The next one down was the senator's race. And the third one down is your congressional races, all right? No big deal. It's the third one down plus all the other elected offices and propositions, right?
Sure.
Well, at this point, now, they're still counting in there. These electronic machines are wonderful. The Republican voter is 300 votes ahead of the Democrat in this count right now. But there's a slight difference. There's 18,000 votes missing for the congressional candidates. Just 18,000, no big deal, you know.
18,000, not 18.
No. So that means 18,000 people went down that list, one, two, skipped the congressional race and went down the rest of the ballot. You know, it's ridiculous. Now, there's 300 votes different. A job, a congressional seat sits on this. The fairness, you know, you don't know what that congressional seat could mean. Alex, this is ridiculous. We've got to get a system where there's a paper trail. If there was a paper trail, that thing would be over right now. They'd pull out the paper trail like the scan ballots. There's
sure.
A paper trail there. All right? They count them up and say, hey, here's the 18,000 votes.
That's phenomenal.
Hey, you know, well, how many were Democrat?
Yeah. Well, if the vote is that close, 300.
Yeah.
I mean, it could make a huge difference. Now, here in Western New York, Tom, of course, as you remember, as a snowbird,
yes.
We still have the mechanical machines. In fact, we interviewed somebody during Election Day, and they said, where'd you get these old-time machines? It's like out of the 1920s.
Alex,
but you know what? They work.
I was elected by many of the machines like that. And I tell you what, you know, when that button clicks down, the little gear says vote one, vote two, you know, it works.
Well, and we have both election commissioners, Ralph Moore and Dennis Ward, Republican and Democrat, and they both were very proud of their machines, invented in Rochester in the 1880s, and still giving accurate counts.
Accurate counts. They never miss. They never miss.
And you know what? In this election, there's some very interesting things, sort of subtexts and underlying themes going on. I'll be talking about one of them, what I think is a major underlying theme, insecurity, in the final word. But one of the interesting things is that younger voters in an off-year election, a non-presidential election, younger voters turned out in higher numbers in Tuesday's race than they did in 2002.
Yeah, and there's something else interesting about it. All the exit polls that seem to be coming out and checking these things, they seem to be highly accurate this time. Now, that leads me to wonder about the 2000-2004 elections when they said the exit polls are way wrong. The same exit polls. What went wrong?
I wonder. Yeah, the interesting thing is, at GOP.com on Tuesday, they had a link to a discussion of why, as a Republican, you should not participate in exit polls. They're inaccurate. They favor the Democrats, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
How come they were right this time? You know, makes you wonder whether Ohio and Florida was like what was going on there in those exit polls and in the polls, not the exit polls.
Well, here's a couple of things I think happened. One is it has been at such the forefront of everyone's attention that you've got to watch and monitor the machines. You've got to be careful. You've got to keep your eye on these guys. You know, you could steal it once, maybe twice.
Twice, you're right. And that's exactly what happened because it was monitors outside keeping track of how many people went in, how many people come out and what the votes were. And they weren't able to, not a conspiracy nut, but look, there was definitely something wrong, those two states.
Very, very clear. And the interesting thing about Ohio is that the Republican gubernatorial candidate was the Secretary of State, the man in charge of the election, and he lost.
He lost.
Fairly overwhelming. Well, you know, if you get bombed, it's hard to manipulate the vote.
Right.
You know, a close election, you can play with it a little bit. Now, President Bush said,
if he had 18,000 more votes, he might have done well.
That probably wouldn't make a difference for him. He got beat so bad, it wouldn't have made a difference. He said,
those 18,000, maybe they were saving them up for him. Didn't work, huh?
Yeah, that could be. Could be. Now, President Bush said, I share a large part of the responsibility for what happened. I told my party's leader, he said, that is now our duty to put the elections behind us and work together with the Democrats and independents on the great issues facing this country. Now, the interesting thing is he had four straight years with a Republican majority, and he's been unable to face the great issues confronting this country.
Yeah, he wants to put it behind him now when he's on the losing end of it. Huh? You know, come on. You know, there's some things have to be investigated, and I'm not saying that the Democratic Party should go in and investigate every little thing and do what the Republicans did. That's not the point. But somewhere along the line, they've got to bring in what's happening with Halliburton, why we were in the war, so we don't make these same mistakes again, Alex. We can't make the same mistake over and over again. We got to find out why and prevent it from happening again. The question, is there something wrong? We should know about it and make sure that those things can't happen again.
Well, interestingly enough, of course, is that rawstory.com obtained a letter detailing the Democrats' oversight priorities. See, the most important thing about this election, and it could have been done prior to the election, is that the Republicans, because President Bush is a Republican, they changed the words, you know, sight, look, eyes, you know, all sort of mean the same thing. They turned their oversight responsibilities into overlook responsibilities. And they did overlook. Had they pursued their constitutional obligations, they may still be in the majority party. Well, the Democrats intend to do so. One, I think, for constitutional reasons and, of course, for partisan reasons. Congressman Henry Waxman, Democrat of California, he's the ranking member of the Government Reform Committee, likely to be chair of that committee now, has a nice long list of priorities, including what's happened in Iraq, the role of the White House in promoting misleading intelligence, what's happened to the money, what's happened to the inquire, you know, inquires about who's visiting the White House and whatnot. Now, think about it. What if the Democrats acted like the Republicans did during the Clinton administration?
You know, I think these issues are far more important than the stained blue dress.
Yes, I absolutely think they are far more important because there's tons of money missing in Iraq.
Tons. I'll tell you what, if it was in pennies, they'd have to have a freight trains all of the way.
Oh, I'm telling you what. An audit of 15 non-competitive contracts paid for by the U.S. government agencies with Iraqi oil money could not account for $22.4 million in funds. And I read the other day, $80 billion has been appropriated for Iraq reconstruction. $45 billion is missing.
Missing. Well, it's not really missing. It's just someplace else.
Switzerland, I'm guessing.
Not missing.
Yes, it is.
It never goes missing.
But we should talk about the economic implications, I think, of this election.
Soup, they give me a bowl of soup. Soup.
Large numbers of Republican staffers now face unemployment.
Oh.
Yeah, they're going to be on the soup line.
Well, Alex, we got to cut the unemployment insurance then.
Oh, I think we definitely have
to
do that.
That's what they do, right?
Yes, that's right. It's interesting. Now, where do former congressional staffers, not just Republicans, where do they go?
Well, they go to K Street.
Absolutely they do, but they're Republicans now. The lobbying firms don't want to hire Republicans because the Republicans aren't in the majority anymore.
And they'll have to take less money, too, if they do hire them.
They will. They will. But they don't look
demand. Maybe I could go down there and organize them. Huh? What do you think?
You know what? They probably wouldn't go for it. I'm just suspecting that they probably wouldn't go for it. Although it would help them out. I mean, they'd be better off for being organized. But
yeah, right.
They don't have the sense to see that. There are other interesting things going on.
I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man.
Yes, the tax issue, of course. Now, think about this. President Bush came in with a trillions of dollars of budget surplus forecasted into the future.
Right.
He's turned that surplus into $3 trillion of deficit in the 6 years of his rule. So we have to fix our fiscal house.
And he's going to say, you raise taxes.
Well, you know, one of the things the Democrats are going to do, repeal the estate tax. Less than 2% of taxpayers pay estate taxes. So here's one that to me is a no-brainer. First of all, the exemption is at $1 million.
Right.
So, you know, only 2% get there. Now, I have to tell you something. When my grandmother passed away, she left an estate of over $1 million. She paid no federal estate taxes. She paid state of Indiana, red state, estate taxes.
Estate tax, yeah.
But, okay. You know, and she's one of the economic elite, one of the very few with over $1 million. She didn't pay taxes.
Right. Alex, it's the very, it's these, oh, now you get somebody that leaves a multi-billion-dollar things. They should pay more taxes. They got the money, and they have more at stake in this country than anybody else that's on the lower economic ladder.
Yeah, absolutely they do. Their rewards are highest. They should pay
the highest.
The most. There are other interesting tax measures the Democrats will be considering. Tuition and sales tax deductions, particularly sales tax deductions in states without an income tax, and having to deal with the alternative minimum tax, which was established in the late 1960s as a way of forcing the wealthy who were able to get away from paying no taxes at all to actually pay taxes. Right now, it is going to start to whack middle-class Americans without some sort of substantial
reform. And it's going to whack them hard. They have to understand that the house mortgage payment, all that stuff, none of that will be deductible under that. And that will just boost their tax bill tremendously. Middle-class Americans, which was not meant for. It had to be indexed. Never was.
Yes, and interestingly enough, folks may recall, contrary to economic and conservative wisdom, I use wisdom, not really meaning it right there, when Clinton pushed through a tax increase in the 1990s, it set the stage for fiscal stability and long-term economic growth, which has been destroyed in the 21st century. Folks, if you have a comment, you can email us at PIA@PIARadio.com. And joining us this week on Prospering in America, the Reverend Paul Sherry, National Coordinator of the Let Justice Roll campaign on the successful minimum wage ballot initiatives, and Dennis Hughes of the New York State AFL-CIO on labor's role in the election. Stay tuned for the Reverend Paul Sherry.